Okay, the topic for tonight is nothing to do with the recent Daf Yomi. It's obviously related to Chanukah. Is a menorah necessary for Ner Chanukah? Now, why am I interested in this topic? Most of us, Baruch Hashem, live in homes where our children supply us with a very steady stream of menorahs, and we have as many of those little planks of wood with screws glued onto them as we can handle in our homes. So why is it so important to figure out whether it's necessary to have a menorah or whether you could just light candles without a menorah? So the truth is, halacha l'maisa, it's hopefully not that important to us, but here's what intrigued me. This is what interested me in this topic. If you look at source number one on page two, look at the way Rav Shechter writes this in Nefesh HaRav. He says, there's a typo in the second word over there, but okay, it should be, Yesh shemedabkim neiros Chanukah shel Shava l'saf hachalon. There are some people that attach wax candles to a windowsill mibli lachnisa meltoch kli, without putting the candles into a kli, without putting the candles into a chanukiah, into a menorah. For the rest of the show, I'm going to refer to it as a menorah, even though I understand it's not the menorah of the Mikdash, it's chanukiah in Hebrew, but we'll call it a menorah. So without putting the candles into a menorah, they just take the wax candles, they melt the bottom of it, and they smush it down on a piece of foil or something on the windowsill, and that's how they do the mitzvah. V'yesh min ha'achronim shepik b'kubazeh, and there are achronim that have a problem with this, because there are certain achronim that say that you need to use a kli. It's not enough to just light a candle. The candle has to be inside a kli. Which achronim say that you need a kli? So he writes in the brackets, Ayin mizeh b'tshuvas avni nezer, ubesefer stechemet ba'orech. The Avni Nezer discusses this, the Stechemet discusses this. It's most widely known, I think, as the Chumrah of the Avni Nezer, that you need to dafka use a kli. But look at the next line. V'rabbeinu hikbid ma'od, al elu shehizkiru deos elu, that Rav Soloveitchik got very upset at those who even mentioned these opinions. The opinions of the Avni Nezer, the Stechemet, these are very major opinions. He got upset at those who mentioned these opinions. V'savar ha'yo she'in b'chumrazu tam klal. And he held that there was no reason whatsoever for any such chumrah. So it seems like that's one thing to say. It's a machlokas achronim. Rav Soloveitchik held this way. To write in such strong lashonos, he got upset at those who even mentioned these opinions. So when we were in the shir, when I was in Rav Shechter's shir, I remember the story, the way he told the story was a little different than the way it's printed in Nefesh HaRav. The way he told the story was that he was a young rebbe. He was saying shir. He became Rosh Shiva at the age of 25. So he was saying shir when Rav Soloveitchik was still at his full strength. And Rav Shechter had mentioned in shir, I guess, to his Talmidim, that there is this chumrah, the Avni Nezer, there is a sheet of the Avni Nezer that you need to have a kli, that you're not allowed to just light wax candles. Rav Soloveitchik was staying in his apartment in YU on Chanukah, and one of the Talmidim was there helping him out. And Rav Soloveitchik realized that he didn't have his menorah. I guess he left his menorah in Boston. So he took a wax candle, he melted the bottom, and he stuck it down on a piece of foil, and he put it in the windowsill, and he was about to light it. And one of the Talmidim said, Rebbe, you can't do that. And he said, why can't I do that? And they said, Rav Shechter said that you need a kli for Ner Chanukah. He says, tell Shechter he's crazy. So that was, so Rav Shechter said, the next day someone came into shir and says, a message from Rav Soloveitchik, yeah? He said, you're crazy? so that's why Rav Shechter wrote in this way, that Rabbeinu hikbid ma'od al elu shizkiru deos elu. That Rav Soloveitchik got very upset at those who even mentioned this opinion. I don't think it means that he necessarily got upset any time anyone ever quoted the Avni Nezer. It means he vehemently disagreed with the Avni Nezer, and Rav Shechter had that little bit of a backstory. So the question is, so why does the Avni Nezer say it? Why does Rav Soloveitchik disagree? Where does this come from? This idea that you're not allowed to just light a candle, that you actually need a menorah to light the candle in. In fact, on the flip side, in the more recently published Sefer Kovetz Halachos, which is a collection of the Piskei Halacha of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shlita, the author writes, in the name of Rav Shmuel, Kosvu Kama Poskim, this is source number two, Diner Chanukah Tzarech Lios B'toch Kli, that many Poskim hold that Ner Chanukah has to be done in a Kli, V'lachain Yesh, that's a typo by me again, I'm not sure, that Shain, Li Zohar, yeah, the Shin should be Zion. Yesh Li Zohar, thank you. It should be a good game over here to catch all my typos. The Yesh Li, they don't have yet the Sefer Kovitz Halachos in the Bar Ilan where I can just cut and paste. Yesh Li Zohar, Shaner Shemachzik Hashem Yehei Olav Torah's Kli. We have to be careful that the Ner that holds the oil has a din of a Kli. Umafurish b'divrayem ta'afilu k'shamadik narchanaka b'neru shava yesh li yizor lahamid aneros b'dokli. And it's mafurish in those poskim that even if you're using wax candles, you have to make sure that the wax candles are in the kli. And he writes in the footnotes over there that Shmuel Kamenetsky is makbid for this, and he tells the yeshiva boys that they should make sure they have a menorah, they should not just take the wax candles. He holds like the Avnei Nezer. So Soloveitchik certainly rejects the Avnei Nezer. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky thinks we should be makbid for the Avnei Nezer. Rav Soloveitchik at least thinks it's okay to quote the Avnei Nezer. So the question is, what exactly is the issue over here? So it seems that there are two sources that form the basis of any such chumrah to dafka be makbid to use a kli. One source is a maral. The maral in their mitzvah on Chanukah, the maral is most famous for another element of this paragraph, but from this paragraph it also emerges that you need a kli. What does the maral write? So if you look in source number 3, Masharov ha'olam noagin lasos neril shel shava lahadlikbo. That which most of the world uses wax candles, lefi anirashu pasul ner chanukah legamri. He says, I think wax candles are completely pasul for ner chanukah. So that's what the Maharal is most famous for, meaning this passage of the Maharal is most famous for. It's not for the fact that he says that when you use wax candles, you got to make sure you put it into a menorah. It's the fact that he says you can't use wax candles. That's the Maharal Shita. That wax candles are puzzle. All the yeshivas, it tells the yeshiva used to send out, I don't know if they still do, but they used to send out those wax candles every year, the colorful candles. So according to the Maharal, they're being machshil everyone in not getting the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah because you're not allowed to use wax candles. Why? De lo nikra ner klal. Because wax candles are not a ner. See, ner, we translate into English as candle. But that's a poor translation of the word ner. That's not what the word ner means in Shas. Whenever you have the word ner in Shas, it's always referring to those little klecheres, those little pottery things that you would pour oil into and that a wick would stick out of the side of. It's like a pool of oil. So that's the ner. The ner is the piece of pottery that has the oil and the wick inside of it. So a wax candle, he says, is not a ner. Rak zeh nikra ner, shenosan Hashem in b'kli, umanichan shama psila, shezeh nikra ner. What's a ner? A ner is the kli that holds the oil and also has the wick in it. Lo kasher korchin ashava la psila, not when you wrap wax around a wick, v'chein chelev shekorchin la psila, or any fat that you wrap around the wick, lav nerhu, rak avuka. He says, that's not a ner, you know what we'd call that? We'd call that an avuka. What's avuka? How do we translate avuka? Torch. So that's what we call a torch. Vavuka near the pasul in Archanaka, and you can't use a torch for Archanaka. Valkar chaynu time of Nesha Nes Nasa Bener Vizelav Nerhu. And the reason why you can't use it for Archanaka was because the miracle happened with the Ner. So you have to use a Ner. You can't use an Avuka. This isn't a Ner, Rak Madura, another term for a torch. This isn't a Ner, this is a bonfire, a wax candle. This is a torch. This is something entirely different. V'chein dover zeh kasher korek shav al psilu lav ner hu rak avuka hu ve'in avuka hu ner. V'zeu ha'hefresh, she'yesh bin avuka l'ner. He says, what's the difference? What's the defining difference? I always thought that a ner is anything that has one wick, and an avuka is anything that has multiple wicks. They're all saying, no, that's not how you define the difference between a ner and avuka. He says, here's how you define the difference. Sha'ner eino sholit b'kulo, sharei kli atzmo nikrogam kiner b'kam mekomos. He says, when you light a ner, part of it is not being lit. Part of it will remain stable. Meaning, you have the kli cheres, you have the oil, you have the wick. The wick is lit, and it is drawing the oil. The kli cheres, nothing is happening to. It's just sitting there, it's remaining completely stable. A ner has part of it that's being completely unaffected by what's going on. Ubo eno sholet ha'or hadolik. The fire is not affecting it whatsoever. Rak sholet b'shemen u'moshech ha'shemen elad. It's just affecting the oil and drawing the oil. Avalavuka in sarach lezer rak miyad sholet b'kol ha'shemen u'kamoshu asher nosen ha'shav ala psila oz ha'or sorif kol ha'psila v'zeinu b'ner klal. An avuka is like a wax candle where you light the wick and it's going to burn down the entire wick and you're going to be left with nothing at the end because there is nothing that remains the same. There's nothing that remains stagnant. The whole thing is involved in the burning. Rak Hashemin Nimshach Achar Psila Ulkach Karu Kli Asher Shem Hashemin VaPsila Ner B'Kol HaTalmud. In general, the Shem and the Psila are placed in a Ner throughout all the Gemaras. Shalidea Kli Nikra Ner Ublo Kli Ein Shem Ner Alav Rak Avuka Madura Opansa Nikra B'Kol Makom. He says whenever you have the term Ner in Shas, it's always referring to oil. It's never referring to anything else. Any other type of fire is called something else. That is the maral. So what the maral seems to be saying is really two things. One thing he's saying is that a wax candle is no good. Okay, that is one chiddush that he's trying to suggest. That seems to have been very widely rejected by pretty much every posek that came after. The other chiddush that he's trying to say may not be rejected by every posek. The other chiddush he's trying to say is that the kli is a critical part of the mitzvah. Because since the mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash was done with a kli, it was done where there was a kli that was holding oil and a wick. So whether your fuel is oil or whether your fuel is wax, but what your fuel needs to be held by a kli. If what's fueling your fire is not held by a kli, then it's not dumyo diner de mikdash. It's not similar to the ner there in the mikdash. And mela, it's not kosher for ner chanukah. So it's, if you could divide that maral into two parts, we can see that one part, enochinami, is rejected, but the other part is still open. It's still a possibility. Now, who rejects the idea of the wax candle, and why do they reject the idea that wax is pasul for Neros Chanukah? So if you look at all the Achronim, really, but the Elia Rabba says it most clearly on page 4 over here. The Elia Rabba quotes, V'inei b'sefer ner mitzvah l'maral mi-prag, herich ma'od, shamadik b'narshav lo yatza. The maral goes on a whole arichus, why wax candles are no good. The harash kasav b'tshuva v'avuka shel shava. The Rush mentions in his commentary at the beginning of Perek Bam Madlikin in Mesechah Shabbos, he talks about a navuka shel shava. What's a torch of wax? And he's referring to a candle, but he uses the term avuka. So Maharal says, ah, you see, that's my proof. You find in the Rush that he refers to a wax candle as an avuka. You see that it's not a ner. Alma dinikra avuka v'lo ner. So says the Elia Rabba, ube'inai tamua lidchos minuk shenago olam larov b'shava v'niskar b'minhagim v'rama v'chein reisi b'kolbo. He says, this is a minhag that's recorded in Rishonim. It's on the page of Shulchan Aruch, and most of the world uses wax candles. So to just, you know, say that that's incorrect and that it's possible v'ner Chanukah, he says, very, very tamua, very difficult to do. The Rush uses the term avuka. Obemis harush sham b'shigras lishna nakat v'lo kasvul ladina klal. The Rush happened to have been talking about another halacha. He was talking about Neros Shabbos and whether you're allowed to use shava or not, whether you're allowed to use wax as a for your Neros Shabbos. He wasn't being makbir and using the right term to describe the wax candle, whether he calls it a ner or navuka. It was shigra delishna. That had nothing to do with his discussion, so he can't bring a raya from a word he uses in a really non-halacha context, because that word was very unimportant to the halacha that he was discussing. This would have major ramifications. There are two other places in halacha where it matters whether something is called a ner or an avuka. What are the two other places in halacha? One is bedikas chametz, and the other one, havdalah. Right? Those are the two other places. By bedikas chametz, we're makbid we dafka have a ner, not an avuka. By havdalah, we're makbid dafka to have an avuka, not a ner. So if you take the maral's definition that a wax candle is always navuka, you wouldn't be allowed to use a wax candle for bedikas chametz, and you wouldn't be able to, and you would be able to use a single wicked wax candle for ner havdalah. That would justify all those places that sell those single wicked wax candles. You'd be able to use that for havdalah according to.
Well, justify bedikas chametz kits to sell them wax candles.
Well, the wax candles that they sell.
Kids.
Well, Maral would say it's no good. He would say
right.
It's an avuka.
Right, I'm saying. But the El Yerava, right, I'm saying is.
Right, the El Yerava is saying that it's fine. Right, the wax candles are fine. Now, why does the Gemara say to use a ner for B'dikas Chametz and not an avuka? It's the Gemara in the beginning, in the first paragraph of Pesachim. And the Gemara says that there are several reasons why a ner is preferred to an avuka. First of all, the ner is a more steady light. It's not a jumpy light. If you have a big torch, the flame is jumping, so it's you don't get a consistent light. So it's hard to really see it's hard to really see something small, a crumb, with a light that's flickering a lot. The second thing the Gemara says, I don't remember if I'm getting it in the right order, but if I recall correctly, the Gemara has three differences, three reasons why it is that we're makbir on Ner. The Gemara says that a small candle you would hold in front of you to light the area in front of you, a torch you hold up to light the area behind you, and when you do b'dikas chametz, you want the light in front of you to be able to check. And the other reason, the third reason the Gemara gives, is that a Ner can get into small places, into cracks behind furniture, and you're not going to worry that you're going to burn your house down. But a torch, you're not going to want to bring, l'charon l'stakin, you're not going to want to bring into all these places where you're going to risk burning your house down, so that's why we don't use navuka. Now, all three of those possibilities, which would suggest that a wax candle is at least as good, if not better, than the classic ner that the Maral is referring to, the piece of cheres with the oil, because it's just as steady of a light. It's in front of you, you hold it in front of you, and it's much easier to control in small places than a kli that has a loose wick that's attached to it. So it would seem that it would be even better. So very difficult to assume like the Maral. Pashtus is like we assume that a wax candle is perfectly good for B'dikas Chametz and is not good for Havdalah. For Havdalah, you need an Avuka, and Avuka means that you need multiple wicks. So that's why Ruba de Ruba, and even more than Ruba de Ruba, all the Achronim completely reject that element of what the Maral writes. The Birkei Yosef, the Chidon, the Birkei Yosef over here, the Aruch HaShulchan as well, all reject this idea. They all quote it. They all do quote it, but they all reject it. As the Aruch HaShulchan writes in the end of Source Number 8, Ve'in yodea iza avuka yesh bazeh im lo kishashnayim klum biyachad. He says, I don't get how the Maral sees a wax candle as an avuka, unless maybe he was only shown wax candles where there were two wicks that were, you know, that were braided together, where the wax was braided together like our Avdalah candles. He says, other than that, I don't know what he's talking about when he says that it's an avuka. So they reject that element of the Maral. But again, the other half of the Maral, what the Maral is saying is that you need a kli, because in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the way the miracle happened. So it could be that you could reject one half of the Maral and accept the other half of the Maral. In fact, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky does just that. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky tells the Talmidim, according to the Sefer, the Sefer Kovetz Halachos, he tells the Talmidim that they can use wax candles and that's perfectly fine. But when they use their wax candles, they have to make sure that they have it in a menorah, and that's what that Sefer explains. If you look in source number 11, he writes Mori v'Rabbi Shlita Amar that Rav Shmuel says Dimitoch Divrei Maral Misba'er Digamim Madlik B'Ner Shava Ba'ikli. That from the Maral, it emerges that even if you can use wax candles, you still need a kli. What do you mean? That's not what emerges from the Maral. What emerges from the Maral is that you're not allowed to use wax candles at all. So he explains, no, Rav Shmuel says that you could reject one chiddush of the Maral and accept the other chiddush of the Maral. So that's one source for the idea that maybe a kli would need to be involved. The other source is a sefer called Chesed Avram. Sefer Chesed Avram, I'm not familiar with the sefer at all, but the Avnei Nezer quotes the Sefer Chesed. I'm familiar with another Chesed Avram. There must be several Svarim Chesed Avram. There's a commentary on the Shmona Prakim, I think, of the Rambam, called Chesed Avram. That one I'm somewhat familiar with, which means I've seen it quoted once or twice. But this Chesed Avram I'm not really familiar with, other than seeing it quoted here by the Avnei Nezer. And this is the other major source. The Chesed Avram goes through the 15 types of material that a menorah could be made out of. It starts with the best and goes down the list. You know, gold and silver, etc., 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 till he gets to klipei rimonim. That if you want the cheapest menorah, the one that's the least either mitzvah, is you eat out a pomegranate and then use the pomegranate shell, you fill it with oil, and you'll use that as your kli. Then the Chesed Avram says, after listing the 15 types of materials you could use for your menorah, he writes that you have to make sure that when you hollow out the pomegranate shell, that it has a flat bottom, or that it can stand up straight, because any kli that would flip over when you put it down doesn't have a shem kli, is not called a kli if it would flip over. And he says, and that's why also you can't use an eggshell, because it's not ro'i la'adaka, therefore it's not called a kli. Because an eggshell, you would try to fill it up, you'd put it down on the table, it would flip right over, and therefore it would be very impossible to have it sit in one place, unless you prop it up with something else. It would be impossible to have it sit in one place as a Ner Chanukah, so therefore it's not called a Kli, and because it's not called a Kli, it's possible for Ner Chanukah. So says the Avni Nezer, when I read that Chesed Lavram, what I see is, if you look in the end of the first paragraph of the Avni Nezer, source number 5, on page 2, he writes, Nir Adaito, the Kol Shein Kli, Lo Nikra Ner. That if it's not a Kli, it's not a Ner. If you don't have a Kli, then it can't be called a Ner. So it can only be called a Ner if there's a Kli that's holding it. And that's the Avni Nezer says, that's what it seems, is the opinion of the Chesed Lavram, that even if you're using wax candles, and even if it's got broad base wax candle where you could put it down, let's say you have those scented candles. I mentioned the Shaila I got once where a couple was last year on Thanksgiving, when it was Thanksgiving weekend. So a couple went away for Thanksgiving weekend and they realized he thought she packed the menorah, she thought he packed the menorah, and they're on the second night of Hanukkah, whatever night Thanksgiving was, I think the second night, they're out in a hotel somewhere in the middle of nowhere and no one's got a menorah. But they went to the hotel gift shop and they saw that there were scented candles in the hotel gift shop. Can they use, so they wanted to know if they were allowed to use scented candles for Ner Chanukah. The answer is yes, but you know, it's a longer answer, but we're not going to get into the whole issue of scented candles right now. But those scented candles are, first of all, they do come in a kli usually. They come in a glass jar, I'm told. But even if you were to take the candle out of the kli, you could sit on a table. It would be fine sitting on a table. It wouldn't tip over. So you don't have to worry about that element of what the Chesed Lavram is saying. But, says the Avni Nezer, it sounds to me from the Chesed Lavram that you need a Kli also. Because if his whole concern with the eggshell is that if it tips over, it's not called a Kli, so then obviously he's makbid that you need a Kli, that it's important that you need a Kli.
No, he could just mean, if you're going to use something under it, then it has to be a Kli. But if you're not going to use something under it, then you don't...
Why would that be the case?
No, I'm saying, he says that you can't use an eggshell because... It wouldn't be. It's not considered a kli.
Right.
That's if you're going to use some. Maybe you could say that's if you're going to use something
under
it.
So I came across, after I made these marmakomas, I came across a tshuva from Rabbi Binyamin Zilber in the Oz Nidbru Chelik Yud Gimel Simon Mem Tes, where he makes that exact point. He says this whole tumult that the Avni Nezer makes, and we haven't even seen what the Avni Nezer says yet, other than that initial diuk. But the Avni Nezer says, and I have rayas that he's right. That you need a kli. It's a Gemara in Yuma. It's a Rambam here, and the Avni Nezer, you know, is Marish Olamos about this idea that you need a kli. So the Rabbi Yom Zilber says it seems to him that the Avni Nezer misunderstood the Chesed Lavram, that it's a poor diuk in the Chesed Lavram. What the Chesed Lavram is saying is exactly what you're saying, meaning that, and just to add a little bit of time to it, meaning that the halacha is that you need to make sure you light in something that's stable, that's going to be able to stay. You can't light in something that the second you put it down, it's going to spill right over. The whole thing's going to pour right over and either be extinguished or start a fire. That's not kosher for Ner Chanukah. It's got to be something that's going to be stable. So he says, an eggshell is not a kli. What he means to say is, because it doesn't have a flat bottom and it's not a kli, it means it's not stable. Who cares whether it's a shame kli, not a shame kli? That's not really what he's interested in. And just to add a little more of a raya to this idea, Rav Vosner writes in the tshuva. Rav Vosner has tshuvas Shevet Alevi. He's got many, many volumes of tshuvas Shevet Alevi, and they just printed, or I just saw for the first time, I don't know when they printed it, a Shevet Alevi on Chanukah. That it's all of his shiurim and lamdus and halacha on, and a lot of machshava also on Chanukah. So he has a short tshuva in the Shevet Alevi itself, in the Shavuos Tshuva Shevet Alevi, and a much longer piece in the Shevet Alevi on Chanukah on this issue. And Rav Vosner writes that it's very difficult to say that something that doesn't have a flat bottom is not called a kli. That something that would tip, if you put it down, is not called a kli. See if anyone can get the raya. You think of where we have in Shas, that something that doesn't have a flat bottom, yet it is called a kli. So he says it's a Mishnah. It's an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah appears in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara describes, Erev Pesach was a crazy time in the Beis HaMikdash. They had millions of karbanos that had to be brought. Everyone had to bring a karban Pesach. So, you know, a family, two families, three families could share one karban Pesach. but everyone was bringing a Korban Pesach, and it all had to be done within a couple of hours, so you had a very short time frame. So the Mishnah is described, Kohanim walking around knee-deep in blood, and then the Gemara has to say, no, that wouldn't be kosher, because then they'd have chatzitas all over their begadim and stains all over the begadim. So they had to build platforms so that they would walk above the blood, so that they wouldn't be knee-deep in blood, but otherwise they would be. That's how much was going on. And it describes assembly lines, where they would take the dam into the cup, and they pass from one guy to the next guy, sprinkle it on the mizbech, then pass back the empties, you know, and just going back and forth. So the Mishnah is described over there in Maseches Pesachim. If you look, I have in the Maram Kamos here in source number 18, HaPesach Nishchat B'Sholosh Kitos, the Korban Pesach is shechted in three groups, Shenemar V'Shachtu Oso Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. There's Kahal Eda V'Yisrael. How does it work? Nichnas Akas Rishona, the first group comes in, Ismala Azara, and they fill up the whole Azara. Nolud also Azara, then they lock up the doors of the Azara to not allow anyone else in. Taku Viriyu V'Taku, Tkiya Tru Tkiya, HaKwanim Omdim Shuros Shuros, the Kwanim line themselves up in rows, Ubi Yedeyem B'Ziche Kesef V'Ziche Zahav, and they're holding cups made of gold or made of silver, Shura Shekol Kesef, Kesef Shura Shekol Zav Zav. If there was a row of Kohanim holding silver cups, they all had to be holding silver. You would think, if you upgrade one or two of those Kohanim to a gold cup, it would be better. No, it's worse, because it's not consistent, so it looks not right when there's a mixture. So a row of silver is all silver, a row that was holding gold is all gold. Lo Yimuravin, they wouldn't mix gold and silver. V'lo Hayu L'Vazichin Shulayim, and these cups that they held didn't have a flat bottom. Shami yanichum v'yikrash adam, because they were afraid if anyone ever puts this down, it's a long day, you know, slapping back and forth the blood, someone's just going to say, enough already, and just like put it down. I need to scratch my head. So just put it down, and you know, so and then what's he going to do? He's going to put it down, and he's going to forget it there, and it's going to, the blood is going to congeal, and they're not going to be able to do a proper zrika. So the bottom of the cup was shaped in a way where it was a rounded bottom, so if you'd put it down, it would fall off. This is a klisha race. It's not just a kli. It's a kli. This is a kli sharetz. So the Avnei Nezer to say that for the Chesed Avraham rather to say that anything that doesn't have a flat bottom, anything you can't put down, doesn't have a shame kli. Very hard to say such a thing. And then the Gemara comments on that in the Amud Beis. V'loy l'vazichin shulayim ton rabbanon kol abazichin shabim migdash lohayu len shulayim chutz mi vazichin levonu shalachim apanim shamei nichim v'fros alechem. Almost all the vazichim in the Beis HaMikdash didn't have shulayim, and they were all clay shareis. So what does he mean? So says Rabbi Yamin Zilber, going back to Rabbi Yamin Zilber's comment, he says he doesn't mean that it's not a kli. Of course it could be a kli, even if it doesn't have a flat bottom. What he means is you can't be Yotzei Ner HaChanukah that way. Now why? What's the psul in Ner HaChanukah? If I'm using something that doesn't have a flat bottom, I'll hold it. I'll hold it there the whole time. I'll prop it up with something. What's the psul? So he suggests that the psul is, the halacha is, Gemara says, if the Gemara says Shulchan Paskins, if let's say you have a tiny drop of oil, and very little, enough to last you 5 minutes, and you make a bracha, you light Ner Chanukah, and then you add more oil before it gets extinguished. So is that kosher or not kosher? So halacha is, even though in the end it lasts Ad Shetichlo Regel Minashuk, it's not kosher. Why is it not kosher? Because at the time of the hadlaka was a mitzvah, at the time of the hadlaka it couldn't possibly last. It wasn't anything that was going to stay, so you're not going to be yotzei in that case. Anything that's not going to that doesn't have all the shemen it needs right now to last. So says Rabbi Yamin Zilber, if you have something that can't stand, even though I'll later prop it up, but right now it can't stand. So that's like adding oil later. You have something that can't possibly last the way it is, and the fact that you later prop it up, that's just like adding more oil later on. Which is interesting, meaning he understands that halacha in the Gemara not to be about whether you have all the oil there. That's irrelevant. It's whether, as currently constituted, will it stay lit? Major nafkamina for an electric menorah, a plug-in menorah. One of the issues that the poskim have with plugging in a menorah is that your entire fuel source isn't right there. It's constantly coming through. The fuel source is constantly coming through. So it's not all right there at the time of the halacha. And they say that's a violation of adding more shemen later. Well, that's if you understand that the problem is that you need all the shemen there. But if you understand the way Rabbi Yamin Zilber is conceptualizing it, then it's not about having all the shemen there. It's about having a situation where leaving it as is, it will stay lit for an extended period of time, well, then you have that when you light an electric menorah, even if it's not battery powered, even if it's a plug-in menorah, you're setting it up in a way where it should last for the entire time. But that's how he understands this Chesed Avram. But again, the Avnei Nezer doesn't. The Avnei Nezer says, no, he's telling me you need a kli, and absent a kli, you don't get the mitzvah of Neir Chanukah. Says the Avnei Nezer, I'll bring you a raya. What's his raya? There's a gemara, I'll bring a raya that this is, two rayas actually, that this is correct, that you need a kli. One raya is a gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Dalet. The gemara in Yuma tells us that if a non-Kohen does the avodah, if someone is a zar who does certain avodos, is chayiv misa. What kind of avodos? So the Gemara says there are only four avodos for which a zar is chayiv misa: zrika, haktara, nisuch hamayim, nisuch hayayim. A zar can't do the sprinkling of blood in his bath. He cannot be maktir the ktaras. He cannot pour the water libations on sukkis, and he cannot pour the wine libations any day of the year whenever there are karbanos. He's not allowed to do those four avodos. That's what he's chayiv misa for. Ask the Gemara. That's it. What about trumas hadashen? Taking out the ashes in the morning from the day, why is he not chayiv misa? So Gemara says, no, only in avodas matana, not in avodas siluk. One is a zar is only chayiv misa. If he does an avoda, that's an avoda of placing something, not an avoda of removing something. Trumas deshen is taking out the garbage, it's removing something. So the Gemara comments how wonderful it is. Look at how Klal Yisrael would fight over the opportunity to be able to do the Trumas Hadashen, even though you would think it's a malacha bezuya, it's taking out the garbage. Who's clamoring to take out the garbage? But that's how serious we are about our Avodas Hashem, and how eager we are to do Avodas Hashem, that people are clamoring to be able to do the Trumas Hadashen. So Trumas Hadashen is not something Azar would be chayv misa for, because it's only an Avodas Siluk. So says Gemara, okay, but there are other Avodas. What about Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha? When if you ever learn Zvachim, you ever learn Kachim, the Dalet Avodos, everyone knows about the Dalet Avodos. What are the Dalet Avodos? Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. Shechita means you shech the animal, Kabbalah, you catch the blood, Halacha, you bring the blood to the Mizbech, Zrika, you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech. Of those Dalet Avodos, only one of them is a Zar Chayiv Misa for, and that's the last one. Why not the first three? Well, the first one, Shechita, is even Ksheira Bizar. Zar is even allowed to do Shechita. Even the Chachila Zar could do Shechita. Why not Kabbalah and Halacha? So the Gemara says, because Yesha Chareha Avoda. All of those are not the final Avoda in the process. So even though Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika are all four avodos, but only Zrika is the final avoda in the process, and therefore a zar is only chayiv misa for Zrika. So then the Gemara asks, all that was just background. Then the Gemara says, what about Sidur HaMenorah? Let's say a zar is Mesader the menorah. Shouldn't he be chayiv misa? He's doing an avoda. So Gemara says, no, it's also not the Gemara avoda, because he still has to put the wick in. So being Mesader the menorah is not enough, he's still going to need to put the wick inside the menorah. So Gemara says, okay, why not say he's chayiv misa then for putting the wick in the menorah? That's an avoda. Gemara says, nah, he still needs to put the shemen in. Okay, why not say he's chayiv misa if he puts the shemen in the menorah? He's still got to do hadlaka. Okay, why not say he's chayiv if he does hadlaka? Hadlaka lav avoda hi. Hadlaka is not considered an avoda. Fine, that's what the Gemara says. What in the world does Sidur HaMenorah mean? Would they move the menorah? Is it something that they took apart? Did they take it out? What does it mean, Sidur HaMenorah? I would imagine that it stayed there. The Mizbeach stayed there, the Shulchan stayed there. These things stayed. They didn't go anywhere. What's Sidur HaMenorah? So says the Avnei Nezer, Sidur HaMenorah must mean that part of the Avoda was to set up the Kli, the little cups on the top of the menorah, in which you would put the wick and the oil, and that's where the Gemara goes, straight from the Sidur HaMenorah to the wick, to the oil, to the Hadlaka, because it's all part of that Avoda. So says the Avnei Nezer, if Sidur HaMenorah is part of the Avoda, obviously the Kelim that you're putting, it's not just that a menorah happens to be a Klei HaMikdash, and that's where we happen to do Hadlaka. We don't have a Klei HaMikdash in our homes, so all we need to do is Hadlaka. No, says the Avnei Nezer. Yeah, the menorah is a Klei HaMikdash, but it's not just all we have to do is Hadlaka. We had to do something else. We had to do a Sidur HaMenorah. We had to set up Kalim inside which we're going to do Hadlaka. And that was also part of an Avoda. So when we're doing Ner Chanukah, granted we don't have a Klei HaMikdash, but we need to do a Sidur HaMenorah. We need to do something that's the equivalent of the Sidur HaMenorah. And that's why you need a Kli, even if you can use wax candles. That's his raya. Good raya or bad raya?
Bad.
Why bad?
It really doesn't make a lot of sense that you need a flat menorah, and therefore you need a kli.
But he's saying in the Beis HaMikdash, part of the avodah wasn't just that there's a menorah there; it's that you had to be masada the menorah.
Together.
What?
There was putting things together. The seder of the menorah was putting everything in.
So, but the Gemara is saying you need to put the kli there. You need to put the oil, the wick. Right. So we have to put the oil, the wick. Why would we not have to do that first part of putting the kli there also? It would seem that if we're trying to mimic the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash,
then
we should do the seder of menorah. So,
not saying that all the in the Beis HaMikdash they only used oil. Now we're talking about if we're using candles, if we're using wax candles, it's a totally different story. They had to do seder menorah because they were using oil and they needed something to hold it.
One could certainly argue that the requirement of a kli, the reason it's so important to have a kli, is because when you have oil, you have no other choice but to have a kli. When you have a candle, the way candles are made, kalim aren't really that important. It's self-sustained, and therefore it's not that necessary. But if you understand that it's part of the avoda, that the seder menorah is part of the avoda, it sounds like it's more than just a practicality. It sounds like he's making it part of the avoda. So what this might really come down to is how much of what we do in our mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah really has to be patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. Our menorah is obviously totally different. You know, we don't have seven branches; we have eight branches plus a shamash. And not only on that level is it totally different. If in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol's daughter comes home from preschool with one of those wooden boards with screws glued to it, they would not use it in the Beis HaMikdash. That would be possible for use in the Beis HaMikdash. Yet it's perfectly kosher for Neros Chanukah. Klipei Rimonim, which the Chesed Avram says, use pomegranate shells. Not good in the Beis HaMikdash. A menorah shalates would have been good if they didn't have the zav, but a klipei rimonim would not have been good. Would not have been kosher in the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously we're not doing exactly what they do in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a fascinating discussion. Machlokes Rishonim, Balamor Ramban, Rav Ozner points this out in his tshuva. So Machlokes Balamor Ramban, why it is that it's also l'shtamish la'ora, that we're not allowed to use the or of the Ner Chanukah. So what's the reason? Why can't we use the Or of the Ner Chanukah? What's the problem with using the Or of the Ner Chanukah? So one possibility is it's a mitzvah. It's hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not supposed to benefit from it. It's meant to be. Or another way to say it is, since it's designated for the mitzvah, if you use it, it's not so evident that it's designated for the mitzvah because you're using it to read by or to do other things by. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that I think Balmar writes that it's a zecher to the Ner in the Beis HaMikdash. And we weren't allowed to use the Or of Ner in the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't use the Or of Ner Chanukah either, because our Adlaka is supposed to mimic the Adlaka of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says Rav Ozner, maybe Tali on that. If you hold that our Adlaka is supposed to mimic the Adlaka of the Beis HaMikdash, so then, and to the extent that even also Lishtamish La'ora, so then maybe you're right. Then maybe Sidur HaMenorah is critical and you need to actually have a menorah. But if you hold that, we're not really doing anything that's like the Adlaka in the Beis HaMikdash. There is very little comparison other than the fact that we're lighting something that really is directly linked to the Adlaka in the Beis HaMikdash, that maybe Sidra Menorah doesn't matter that much. Maybe enough Kamina, because the Adlaka's Neros in Shul is almost definitely a Zecha to Adlaka in the Beis HaMikdash. The Adlaka's Neros in Shul, many poskim have several rayas, that the Adlaka's Neros in Shul is totally different, and maybe he has to more closely mimic the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why that's the placement of the menorah in Shul is in the south, because the menorah is Bidarom. Right? We're careful about the Adlaka's menorah in Shul. So maybe, even if you hold that you wouldn't need a kli at home, maybe in Shul you dafka need a kli. Okay, that would be quite a chiddush to say such a thing. But that's one of Rav Ozner's tainas. Also, he says, he's not convinced that Sidra menorah means setting up the kelim. It means setting up the menorah. He says Sidra menorah probably means Atavas HaNeros. Hatavas HaNeros is the cleaning out of the Neros. It's Elamai. How do they clean out the Neros? They take them out, they wash them out, they clean them, but they haven't. That's not enough, obviously, because if they just clean it and they don't put it back, then it's useless. So the Gemar Hatava is putting it back. Cleaning something is useless if you don't then put it back. So when it talks about Sidra HaNeros, it's another way of saying the Gemar Malacha of the Hatavas HaNeros. It wouldn't talk about the hatava, because hatava, to just clean out, that's an avodah siluk. That's not an avodah smatana. That's like the truma sedeshen. That's taking something off. That's taking out the garbage. But the gemara of the hatava is putting something back. It's an avodah smatana. So that's why the gemara raised that issue. Why isn't the zar chayiv misa for that? But he says he doesn't think that there's anything called sidra menorah. That's hatava zaneros. It's a cleanup job that they had to do. But it doesn't make an avodah out of sidra menorah. Second raya the Avnei Nezer has to his shita is a Rambam in Hilchos Bias Migdash. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Bias Migdash, Parag Tes Halacha Zayin, that if a Kohen prepares the Neros and then takes them out, a Zar is allowed to light them outside. Problem is, the Medrash says in Torah's Kohanim, Yaruch Es HaNeros Lefnei Hashem, that you're not allowed to be Mesakin Mibachutz V'yachnis, that you have to set up the Neros Mibifnei Hashem. You can't have the Neros done outside and then bring them in. So how can the Rambam say that the Zara is allowed to light them outside, then you'll bring them in? So says the Avnei Nezer, what it must mean is that the Kviyas HaNeros B'Menorah has to be done inside. Setting up the actual Kli has to be done inside. Hadlaka could even be done outside and brought back in. Setting up the actual Kli, what's setting up a Kli? What's a Kli? You see that a Kli was critical. But again, that's about the Beis HaMikdash. That's not about a Ner Chanukah. So, and the Avnei Nezer himself points out that there are multiple Girsos and multiple Perushin in how to understand that Medrash, and this itself would be Tali in Machlokes Rishonim. Then Rav Ozner says, I'll bring you a Raya that the Kli is not at all important for Hadlakas Neros Chanukah, and that you could absolutely just use the regular, just use a candle. And his Raya is the following. The sugya in Chanukah, the My Chanukah sugya, and all the sugyas in the second paragraph of Masechta Shabbos that talk about Chanukah, never once mention what the menorah is supposed to look like. The symbol of Chanukah, and all the, you know, the tree and the menorah, the symbol that the whole world sees, that this is what Chanukah is, the menorah. The Gemara never, ever talks about the menorah. It talks about the oil, talks about the wicks, talks about when, talks about where, talks about who, traveling, never once talks about the menorah. To me, that's the most compelling raya. The raya of the absence of any discussion of it. In Rishonim, in the Gemara, nothing. The Gemara says if you have a bowl where there are wicks sticking out on all sides of the bowl, okay, that's not about the menorah, that's just about not having individual candles. But it never talks about such a kli called a menorah. We find dinim of hadlakas haner. And don't tell me, well, that's because they used oil, so they would just line up into those. Yeah, but
it's
they.
So push it, because that was what they did in the Beis Hamikdash. Why would we think that anybody would do anything but?
Well, you know what? They didn't. They probably didn't use menorahs. They probably used eight of those little kli cheres and just lined them up next to each other. They didn't have a menorah like that in the Beis Hamikdash. And why would that be better? Meaning, if you're lining up on, you know, you're doing the Majin Min HaMajin or whatever, you're lining up an X number for that number of days, shouldn't you have to put it in one kli to mimic the way it was done in the Beis Hamikdash? But they never did that. They probably just used the, those little kli cheres that they had and just lined up as many as they needed, one right next to the other. The Chesel Avram talks about how beautiful it has to be and how, he says, yeah, because secondary things to a mitzvah also should be beautiful. They also become part of beautifying the mitzvah. What's the example? The Gemara in Shabbos Kuflam and Gimel. The Gemara says Zekeli Vanveu is not the fun of the mitzvos. They should do hidur mitzvah. Well, how do you do hidur mitzvah? The Gemara says you should have sefer Torah na'a, bidyon na'a, have a beautiful sefer Torah, have nice ink, bekulmus na'a, with a nice quill. Who cares if you have a nice quill? What does that have to do with anything? Lav laruman, korcho b'shiranayin, wrap it in nice cloth. The cloth isn't the mitzvah. Wrap it in nice cloth, wrap it in sefer Torah, nice. Why is that important? And what all of this points to, says Rav Ozner, is that hidur mitzvah is not only accomplished with the chefetz shel mitzvah, hidur mitzvah is also accomplished with the secondary objects that surround the mitzvah and that aid in the mitzvah. So yeah, the Chesed Avram will say it's beautiful to have a silver menorah. Even though the menorah is halachically meaningless, because you don't need a menorah. You don't need to have it, you could just have candles. But since you're using it for your candles, memela becomes a secondary element, and therefore a subject to Hidur Mitzvah. That's what he says, that the ultimate raya is the fact that it doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. Okay, we'll stop there. I think if you don't have a menorah, you can stick the wax candles down in the stomach.